The gospel is from John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There's a news story recently doing the rounds that's been quite popular. You might have seen it online or in the news programs about a company owner who recently did an incredible thing. This company owner is the founder of a multi-million dollar company that's been around several years. And over recent years, the company's seen a lot of success. And so this owner rakes in about $1 million per year as his wage. And so he's doing very well for himself. But over the last couple years, he was starting to hear from his employees about how it was for them working for the company. And what he started to hear is that working for the company, some of them weren't earning enough to live. The company's centered in a city in the Northwest, and he was finding that whatever the starting wage was for a lot of these people, they just weren't getting enough to afford to pay their bills month to month. And so this owner recently did something incredible. He had a conference and he announced to his entire staff that everyone in his company is going to be raised within 3 years to a minimum salary of $70,000. They looked at the cost of living in the area and they said, you know, $70,000 is a living wage where we live. That's enough for people to kind of have a family and pay for the things they need. So he said, everyone's going to get paid $70,000 within 3 years. That'll be the lowest anyone gets paid. And then he did something else that's incredible, though. You can imagine if you take a whole company and raise everyone's salary within 3 years, that's going to cost a lot of money. So where is at least some of this money going to come from? Well, he decided that in order to help pay for other people's living wage, he was going to lower his own wage, he announced, from $1 million to $70,000 a year, right? Giving up some of what was his so that others might have enough to survive. Well, the really cool thing I learned recently about this story is it turns out that this guy is a Lutheran who goes to an ELCA church. Turns out that this guy went through a discipleship program for several months where each week he would learn about the faith, he would read the Bible, he would ponder the teachings of Jesus. And coming out of this discipling formation program he was in, he started thinking about his workers who weren't earning enough to survive, and he decided, you know what, if I'm going to call myself a Christian business owner, then I need to pay my workers a living wage. And so this big story that we've been hearing in the news comes out of faith, and it's a fantastic example of faith actually bearing fruit, of actually changing the way someone lives and acts in the world. Well, over the last few years, I've been trying to grow a garden, like I told the kids during my children's sermon. And I do come from Southern California, where gardens aren't as common, particularly growing vegetables. And so I've been learning from scratch. And I had to learn from scratch because at the beginning, I knew nothing. I didn't know where to plant plants. I didn't know how to prepare the soil. I didn't know when to water. And the list goes on. And so, you know, I kind of had a garden the first year, and it didn't go very well. And so I started reading some books and asking some friends about gardening, and I've started picking up some tips that have, you know, my garden's getting a little better each year. And one of the things I picked up is that a lot of plants require pruning in order for vegetables to be their best selves. In order for the vegetables to be their most productive and produce, you need to prune them. Now, this is particularly true, I understand, from tomato plants, where tomato plants, in order to become their most productive selves, really need the help of the gardener. Because left on their own, tomato plants will grow big, and they'll have lots of branches, and the branches will be very leafy, but there won't be much fruit on them. And maybe the fruit that does grow will be small and not very juicy. And so what they need is for a gardener to come in and to trim away the branches that aren't really producing, to trim away the thin ones that don't do anything good, to trim away the parts that don't have fruit on them. And if the pruning happens, then you have a good chance that the tomato plant will produce beautiful, ripe tomatoes. Well, Jesus lived in a time when gardening was really big. And of course, during Jesus' time, people didn't garden as a hobby like a lot of us do, but people gardened because there were no grocery stores, right? People gardened to eat. That's what they ate, was the stuff they grew. And so people at Jesus' time knew a lot about gardening. They understood how it worked. And this is probably why when Jesus does his preaching and tells his parables, he's often using metaphors about growing fruit, growing vegetables, gardening in general. And today, along with this theme of using a garden metaphor, he talks about a vine. He says that if you think about the faith in the world, he says, you know, I am the vine, right? Jesus says, I am the vine, and God is the gardener, and each person in the world is a branch on the vine. And he says that the job of each branch on the vine, each branch that's connected to him, is to bear fruit. And so he advises his listeners to stay connected to the vine, which he says is his living word, is his presence, so that people can have a fruitful, productive, joyous life. Well, it turns out that Jesus isn't the first person to use the metaphor of a vine and grapes and bearing fruit. It turns out that when he uses this metaphor, he's actually looking back to a lot of stories in the Old Testament that talk about vine as a metaphor for faith. So, for instance, in Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, there's a verse that says, "The Lord transplanted a vine from Egypt and drove out the nations and planted it." Well, what's that talking about, right? There's a vine and God transplanted it from Egypt to a new place and planted it. Well, if we think of our Sunday school lessons, we remember the story of the people of Israel who at one point are actually enslaved in Egypt, right? And they're enslaved to the people living there. And God uses Moses and his word to release them from captivity. They cross the Red Sea and they enter into the Promised Land. So this verse in Psalm 80 is talking about how God has transplanted them from slavery into freedom in the Promised Land. So who are the vine in the Old Testament? The vine are the people of Israel, God's chosen people. But even if we take this as true, even if the vine in the Old Testament is God's people and God is sort of working with them, the question still remains, well, why is God working with the chosen people? Why did God choose a people in the first place, right? Why does God have one people called the people of Israel in the Old Testament who he sort of works with the most? Does God just have a favorite child and is sort of blessing them and forgetting the rest of humanity? What's the purpose of the chosen people? Well, if you look in Genesis 22, it turns out that the purpose of the chosen people isn't to be a blessing for themselves at the exclusion of everyone else. But it turns out that actually the job of the chosen people is to bless the rest of the world. It says in Genesis 22:18, God is talking to Abraham, who's going to be the founder of Israel. And he says to him, "Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." So the idea of the chosen people in the Old Testament is that these people, the Israelites, would know God. They would know who God is, and they would live in the ways of God, and that through them, people in the world would see them and learn about who God is, and they would learn about the ways of God. And so through their way of life, the Israelites, there would be blessing for the rest of the world as everyone else learned about the ways of God and who God is as well. And it turns out that this wasn't just a theory, but this actually happened. During Jesus' time, for instance, there were people called God-fearers who were not ethnically Jewish. They weren't born to Jewish parents, but they actually followed in the ways of Judaism. They believed in the God of the Old Testament, and they followed the faith practices of the Jewish people. And so again, the purpose of the vine, the purpose of the chosen people, was to teach about who God was and teach people the ways of God. So what's the message of today's story if Jesus is saying, "I am the vine"? Well, if we follow the metaphor from the Old Testament, Jesus is basically saying that I am the new Israel. By knowing me, you will know who God is, and by abiding in me, you will know God's ways of life. Well, this all sounds pretty well so far, right? Jesus just simply says, "I am the vine. I'm how you know about God. I'm how you stay connected with God. So just stay connected with me, and you will be blessed." And that's a fantastic message. It's a good-sounding message. It's something that probably all of us want to be a part of, and it sounds really pretty easy and simple. But our problem, even as Christians, is maybe we don't read the whole story of what Jesus says it means to be part of the vine, what it means to be connected to him. Because he says part of the deal of being connected with him is that it's an abiding relationship. He says, abide in me. Some Bibles translate it as remain in me. And the idea is that faith isn't a momentary decision. It's not like you get baptized at one time, or you get confirmed at one time, or you become a member at one time, and then good to go, you're part of the vine. But he says, have an ongoing relationship with me. Abide with me in your entire life. And so there's this idea of continuity, that we live a consistent life of being connected with God. And not only that, but he also says, you know, part of having a relationship with me, not a one-time decision, but an ongoing relationship, is that I'm going to prune you as the gardener, or I should say God is going to prune you as the gardener. God is going to prune our lives as we get to know him and remove and cut off the things that waste our energy and don't contribute to God's kingdom. And pruning, you know, is probably a pretty hard thing to go through, right? It means cutting something off that's not bearing fruit. So what might God want to prune from his followers, right? Well, he would want to prune things that are obviously bad. He would want to prune sin, I suppose. Things like lying and stealing and violence and cruelty and substance abuse. Those things that hurt ourselves and others. Certainly God wants to prune those things, right? Obvious sins. But I think sometimes as mostly good middle-class Christians, we kind of think of the sin and, you know, it's like, well, as long as I don't have many of those going on, then I'm pruned enough and I'm pretty much living the way of God. But I think it goes further than just sins when God prunes things away. I think sometimes God invites us to cut things off that aren't so much bad in and of themselves, but they've gotten out of whack. They take up too much of our time. They're too much of a priority, where if they were a smaller priority, they'd be good, but they're taking too much of our time and effort, and so now they've become something that's taking away our energy for God and for the things that matter. So if you think about pruning as part of the relationship with God, and you ask yourself, you know, what would God be itching to prune in me? What is going on in my life that God might want to help me cut off? Because it's not something that gives glory to God. It's not something that turns me into the person I'm supposed to be. I don't know what it might be, but it could be a number of things. I mean, God might be itching to prune off someone's inability to forgive, right? Is there someone who's hurt you in the past and you just have this sense of bitterness and you can't forgive this person? And you bear a grudge, and that just weighs on you. Well, it might be that God is wanting to cut off that inability to forgive. Because, of course, when we don't forgive, it's not just that you're hurting the people that you won't forgive, but you're actually hurting yourself. You know, when you don't forgive, that's a weight on your shoulders. So maybe God is calling us to cut off an inability to forgive. Or maybe God is calling us to cut off some of our financial obsessions. Maybe we're too into our stuff. Maybe we buy too many things without giving thought to what other people might need. We know, of course, that part of being a person of faith is to share the things we have, to share the gifts we have with other people. And of course, if we spend all of it on ourselves when we have the means to share, we're not going to be able to be good stewards and share with others. So maybe God is calling us to cut off the way we think about money and stuff because we're too much into it. Or maybe here's a countercultural one. Maybe God is calling us to cut off some of our schedule, right? Not bad things, but too many things. Maybe we're doing too many things in too many different directions, and we need to cut some of it out so that we'll have time for things that are important. Maybe your career, you have some flexibility in it, and you're working a whole lot, and you're not even seeing your family, and maybe you need to say to your boss, you know, I can't work this much because I also need to be there with my family. Or maybe you're a parent, right? Maybe you're a parent and you have a kid that wants to be involved with five or six different extracurricular activities, and there's no time with the family anymore, and there's no time for the family to be together in faith. Maybe parents nowadays need to sit down with their kids and say, you can be involved with one or two things, but not five, because we won't have any time together if we do that. At the end of the day, I don't really know what God is hoping to prune from your lives, and that's okay, because it's not really my job, and it's not any of our jobs to prune each other, right? In this story, it's not the branches that prune each other. It's God who prunes us. But I do know, I have a sense of maybe what God would want to prune from my own life. And I bet if you think about what might God be looking to prune from your life, you probably know what that is too, right? We know ourselves pretty well. And so maybe the call of faith is an invitation to start pondering, what is it in my life that does need to be pruned, that needs to be cut off, that's taking away my energy for things that God wants me to have attention for? Well, I think in the end, one thing we need to remember is that pruning is not about God wanting to make life hard on us. It's not about God wanting to cut off things that we need, but it's about God looking at our lives and saying, let me help you cut off things that aren't bearing fruit. Let me cut off things that are taking away from your ability to be the person who you are meant to be. And so pruning isn't about God's harshness with us, but pruning is about God's love for us. And not only that, but at the end of the day, Jesus says growing in faith, being a person who bears fruit, isn't rocket science. It's not very hard. He says, in fact, we don't need to figure out everything by ourselves and do it by ourselves, but he says the way we bear fruit is by being connected to Jesus, right? The way we bear fruit is simply, as Jesus says, abiding in Christ. And so really the question of bearing fruit is a question of what helps us abide in Christ. It means leaving times in our lives for worship and prayer. It means spending time pondering God's word and living in Christian community. It's really simple stuff, but Jesus says if we do these things, it's not like maybe we'll bear fruit, maybe we'll grow, but he says you will grow and bear fruit if you abide in me. And so as we hear this story about abiding in Christ, about being connected to the vine, and even about pruning, it's not a negative message where we need to say, you know, what's wrong with me? What do I need to cut out? But really the thing we need to think about is, how can I abide with Christ, right? What are the things in my life that connect me with Jesus? Because if we do this again, we will bear fruit. So I invite you to think about this week. How can I abide in Christ? How can I be connected to Jesus and in so doing, bear fruit for God? Amen.